From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Amid the growing use of electronic cigarettes, supporters say they're a more convenient alternative to traditional cigarettes, as they can legally be used in more places, but are they safer? And can they help smokers kick the habit? The U.S. Food and Drug Administration reports scientific evidence about e-cigarettes is lacking. We'll take a closer look at what's known and not known about e-cigarettes, and concerns about their allure to kids and teens, and the prospects for future regulation. Plus, the state legislative session is now just a month away. We'll hear from Republican State Representative Matt Caldwell of Lehigh Acres for a look at his legislative priorities for the coming session and his position on this year's hot-button issues, from Florida's Stand Your Ground law to what should be done with a projected budget surplus. First, this news. From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. In just a month, lawmakers from around Florida convene in Tallahassee for the start of this year's legislative session. Later this hour, Republican State Representative Matt Caldwell kicks off our series of conversations with members of Southwest Florida's legislative delegation. We'll listen back to our recent conversation with Caldwell, whose district includes portions of North Fort Myers, Lehigh Acres, and Buckingham in Lee County, about his position on this year's hot-button issues, as well as his legislative priorities. But first, we're taking a closer look at the growing use of electronic cigarettes. Some supporters laud e-cigarettes as a safer alternative to smoking traditional combustible cigarettes, safer for the user, and with vapor instead of secondhand smoke, safer for those around them. Also, many see e-cigarettes as a tool to help smokers kick the habit. But what do we really know about the safety of electronic cigarettes, or their effectiveness as a smoking cessation tool? According to the FDA, there simply isn't enough evidence to make the case for their safety or efficacy as a method of quitting smoking. And a recent report from the U.S. Surgeon General points to a need to regulate e-cigarette use, saying that the percentage of middle and high school students who use e-cigarettes more than doubled between 2011 and 2012. Joining me now for a closer look at e-cigarette use is Fort Myers primary care physician Dr. Andy Oakes-Lodridge. He's a past co-chair of the Lee County School District's Student Health Advisory Committee. His editorial on e-cigarettes appeared last month in the news press. Dr. Andy Oakes-Lodridge, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Also with us is Brendan Donahue. He's a health education program consultant with the Florida Department of Health here in Lee County and former chair of the Tobacco-Free Lee Coalition. Brendan Donahue, thanks for joining us this morning as well.
Well, I'm glad to be here, John. Thanks so much.
And we're also talking by phone with Kevin Lewis, a student at Island Coast High School in Cape Coral. He's president of the school's Students Working Against Tobacco, or SWAT, club. Kevin Lewis, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm glad to be here.
And I invite our listeners to join the conversation as well with your comments and questions. If you're a user of electronic cigarettes, give us a call and tell us why. Have they helped you quit smoking? Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and post your comments there, or send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. And Dr. Andy and Brendan, let's start with you. First of all, what exactly is an electronic cigarette, and how do they work?
Dr. Andy? Sure, I'll give that a try. An e-cigarette is basically a small device. It looks very similar to a cigarette. It usually has a power source inside and a filter, and it's a little container as well for putting in a liquid, which is then aerosolized. And this liquid usually has a nicotine component as well as a flavoring quite often. Typically, this is made of something called propylene glycol and vegetable glycerin, which are fairly safe substances. And this is aerosolized and then inhaled, and thereby can deliver the nicotine to the user without actually smoking, without actually burning any tobacco.
And the substances you just mentioned, perfectly safe as food additives, but do we really know about how safe they are when they're vaped, so to speak?
We don't know absolutely for certain how safe they are when they're vaped. And I know that's one of the criticisms of these cigarettes, is that the inhaling of those substances could be potentially dangerous. Now, those same substances are actually found in several other medical pharmaceutical inhalers, including some of the treatments for asthma. So we have a good reason to suspect that they are fairly safe. but people do have reactions to them. I'd be more worried, actually, about some of the other chemicals that can end up in e-cigarettes. There are other pollutants and toxins and heavy metals that can end up in e-cigarettes, albeit, admittedly, at much lower levels than you'd find in tobacco cigarettes.
And Brendan, just for a minute, I wanted to talk a little bit about the tobacco-free Lee program there through the Department of Health. You did work as a tobacco prevention specialist for quite some time. Tell us about that organization and about your work.
Well, the Tobacco-Free Lee was started as a result of a Department of Health community-based grant in 2009. And we gathered together local Lee County decision-makers and youth to form this coalition to go out into the public to educate and to initiate policy change regarding cigarette policies and tobacco policies in general. Speaking about the e-cigarettes, just this past year, Tobacco-Free Lee was very instrumental in getting an e-cigarette ban for students in Lee County schools. Dr. Randy, in fact, worked with us on that. At the time, Dr. Randy was the co-chair of the School Health Advisory Committee. And Tobacco-Free Lee, we presented to SHAC Committee, and they supported the effort to ban e-cigarettes. And it moved on in spring of 2013. That policy was enacted for the school year 2013-14.
And Kevin Lewis, there in Cape Coral at Island Coast High School, I'm not sure what year you are, but were you there before that ban went into place? Was e-cigarette use something that you would see walking around the halls or in a classroom, for instance?
I'm in the 11th grade, and yes, I've seen it a few times.
And, you know, late last year, France's National Consumer Institute reported research findings that 3 in 10 cigarette varieties that they had tested contained levels of known carcinogens like formaldehyde, acrolein, and at roughly equivalent levels at what's found in regular cigarettes. But what about research on the safety of e-cigarettes that's been done here in the U.S.? Has the FDA detected carcinogens in e-cigarettes, Dr. Andy?
The FDA has detected carcinogens. I don't remember the exact citation, but it was reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association just last month, and the FDA actually tested, I believe, 12 different brands of e-cigarettes and found some chemicals and carcinogens in all of those brands. So I think it's fair to say that these substances are very commonly found in just about every e-cigarette.
Okay. But like this study I had mentioned from France's National Consumer Institute, are they at those same levels as what you would find in a traditional combustible cigarette, or are they much lower, actually?
Well, that's a good question. What the FDA found was that they were much lower. I think that's a fair finding. But one of the problems, though, is that we have conflicting research. We have a study from France. We have a few studies here in the United States. But we don't have enough data out there. And I think that's the biggest problem the medical community has in getting behind the use of e-cigarettes, for example, as a cessation tool, is that we just don't have enough data yet. And meanwhile, this product is doubling its sales every year since 2008, and I think in 2013 there was going to approach $1.5 to $2 billion with a B dollars worth of sales in e-cigarette supplies and equipment.
And as you mentioned, they're booming, but it's still so new that, you know, regardless of how much research we do now, we're not going to know the long-term impacts because they haven't been around a long time.
Exactly, exactly. And there are currently no restrictions. There are currently no restrictions out there selling these. You can buy these things, as I'm sure Kevin knows, you can buy these things. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's no restrictions like there are with cigarettes or with alcohol.
Well, let's hear now an excerpt from an ad by an e-cigarette manufacturer. This is a Blue Cigs ad featuring celebrity Jenny McCarthy.
You know, I love being single, but here's what I don't love. A kiss that tastes like an ashtray. Blech. I'm Jenny McCarthy, and I finally found a smarter alternative to cigarettes. Blue e-cigs. Blue satisfies me. I get to have a blue without the guilt because there's only vapor, not tobacco smoke. That means no ash, no odor, which also means I don't get the stink eye from others. Also, it doesn't make my hair smell, my teeth turn yellow. You get the idea. That's why I am in love with Blue e-cigs. Now that I've switched to Blue, I feel better about myself. And I feel free to have one almost anywhere. When I'm driving, at home, watching TV, or when I'm in the club. And no going outside in the rain or freezing my butt off just to take a puff. I can whip out my Blue and not worry about scaring that special someone away. You know what I'm saying? Finally, with Blue, I took back my freedom.
And we chuckled a little bit during that. But, you know, I wanted to play that because I think it really demonstrates, you know, how easy it is to understand their attraction to smokers, as McCarthy expressed in that ad, not having to go outside every time you want to light a cigarette, not having to smell like a cigarette, or living with that smoker stigma. Dr. Andy, all things considered, is it better for someone to vape on an e-cigarette than smoke a traditional cigarette, even with the lack of information we have now? What would you recommend?
I think the short answer to that question is yes. It's probably it is definitely better to vape on an e-cigarette than to smoke a tobacco cigarette. But I think the question is a little bit more complicated than that. You know, for example, that ad just now. Jenny McCarthy is a very attractive woman, with or without an e-cigarette in her hand. However, you know, she harps on these themes that are very much targeted towards adolescents and young adults. The FDA has finally figured it out. Just recently, they launched a whole new anti-tobacco and, you know, ad campaign, trying to, you know, tell kids about the problems with wrinkled skin and yellow teeth and bad breath. These are things that we as physicians have been telling our teen patients about for years, because they don't think about whether they're going to be at high risk for gastrointestinal cancers and lung cancer and pancreatic cancer and heart disease. So that's exactly what the Blue Cig people are doing too. They're just advertising towards, you know, don't want to kiss an ashtray, make it popular with kids, make it convenient. And that's where the problem with e-cigarettes are. You know, if you're helping people quit, great. If you're doing it as an alternative to smoking, then great. If you are doing it as a way of smoking because you wouldn't otherwise smoke, then that's where I have a problem.
Understood. Join the conversation this morning as we take a closer look at what's known and what's not known about the use and safety of electronic cigarettes. We're talking with Fort Myers physician Dr. Andy Oakes-Lautridge, along with Brendan Donahue with the State Department of Health in Lee County, and Island Coast High School SWAT Club President Kevin Lewis. Do you use e-cigarettes? Tell us what you think. Phone lines are open at 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Or post your comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And Dr. Andy, I wanted to touch on something that you had just mentioned about that ad and how it really seems to be focused more towards younger people and adolescents. You know, of course, I've gone to the Blue Cig's Facebook page or web page, rather, and you have to click on something saying that you're over 18 to
right.
Get in there. But do you really think that we're seeing these products targeted towards younger people?
Absolutely. And even that, you know, in the Blue Cig page, I'm afraid we're giving them free advertising. But, you know, you have to be over 18 to click that thing. Well, you don't have to be, of course, but I think even that is part of their advertising. They're making it it almost entices people who are underage to sort of click on that over 18 button to see what comes up. So, I mean, these people are very smart. They're very entrepreneurial, and you got to give them credit for that. But they're selling a product, and they're making money at it. And I have no doubts at all that they're advertising towards adolescents and teens. And that's actually one of the concerns that was brought up at the congressional level, too. Legislators were also worried about the advertising strategies.
And Kevin Lewis over there at Island Coast High School, I wanted to get your take on this as well. Do you feel like e-cigarette products are maybe being targeted towards, you know, folks in your generation, folks your age? Is that something that you see growing in popularity among your peers?
Yes, I actually believe that they are targeted to people my age, and the reason for that is that if they target at someone, eventually they're going to die, but if they target at someone that's young, they're going to have that customer for a long time. And one of the things that I see with e-cigarettes is that some people don't know that they have levels of nicotine, and nicotine makes you get addicted to it. So when you become addicted to it, then you're going to keep coming back to buy some. And if they young people addicted to it, then they're going to have a customer for a long time than rather getting an old people addicted to it. So they do. I do believe that they aim it at young people.
Is that part of the concern as well? You know, getting kids started on this, what could become a lifelong dependency on nicotine? Andy or Brendan?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the dangers with the e-cigarettes is that they are candy-flavored tobacco products. And these flavorings, they mask the harshness of traditional tobacco. So it certainly lures young people to smoking. who otherwise might not even smoke. You know, perhaps it's you know, gaining some you know, ground you know, in with the young people, et cetera, some a new trend. They may think it's you know, safer. The fact is, as Kevin was just bringing up, however, it contains a very addictive substance, nicotine. And it could, in fact, be a gateway, again, to, you know, traditional tobacco use, which would be certainly is a concern.
Let's take a call now from Kevin in Venice. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Did you have a story or a comment to share?
Yes, I've been smoking e-cigarettes since April of last year. I was a pack-and-a-half-a-day smoker plus cigars. I have not had a cigarette since then or a cigar. I started off at 26 milligrams. I'm currently down to 12, and I'm continuing to drop. These things work.
That's
now, granted, I don't think kids should be buying them, but anywhere where I go, you have to be 18.
Kevin, how long had you been a regular traditional cigarette smoker before you got started on e-cigs?
I'm 54 years old. I started at the age of 16.
Wow. So how has that transition been since last April? Was it difficult at first, or has it, I mean, had you tried to quit using other methods in the past?
Oh, of course. I've done the gum. I've done the patches. I've done every route. I've gone cold turkey. This is the only thing that has actually worked for me.
And Dr. Andy, would this be one of those cases that you had mentioned before where, you know, this might be a case where you would say it might be okay, as opposed to somebody who had never picked up a cigarette before?
Absolutely. You know, and Kevin, you know, my congratulations. That's e-cigarette or not, quitting smoking is not an easy thing to do. So you certainly deserve kudos for having done that. And, you know, better late than never. So that's outstanding. And Kevin, your story is that yours are the stories that the e-cigarette makers really want us to hear. And these are the success stories. Unfortunately, they're not the most common thing. Most people who use e-cigarettes are not quite as successful as you are, Kevin. And there are some studies that have shown that most people who use them actually continue to smoke and use e-cigarettes, and that the smoking rates are – quitting rates are probably equivalent or less than using nicotine patches. However, again, Kevin, cannot argue with results, so congratulations.
How has your health been?
Thanks so much.
How has your health been, have you noticed, in nearly the year that you've been cigarette-free?
100% better.
You've noticed big changes? That's great to hear.
Big changes. Big changes. Food tastes better. Just totally like night and day.
And Kevin, when you got on, started using e-cigarettes, did you start using them with the intention of using them as a cessation tool?
I most certainly did.
Okay. Right.
My fiance started a month before me, and she says, this is great. Once you get on it, regular cigarettes, you taste one, they taste terrible. Now, I'm not smoking any of the flavor. The flavor I smoke is cigar, because that's my preference.
Gotcha.
And it's just like a cigar. You know, as far as the bubble gum and all, oh, that stuff's terrible. But anyway, it works.
Can I ask you a question, Kevin? When you see the advertising for e-cigarettes, do you feel that advertising is targeted towards individuals like yourself and your fiancé, or do you feel that seems to be more targeted towards people who may not be trying to quit but just want to use more nicotine?
I think that's targeted at kids. I really do.
Gotcha.
Well, Kevin, thanks so much for the call.
She's talking about clubbing, you know, and stuff like that, going out to the clubs. No, that's targeted kids.
Well, Kevin, again, thanks for the call, and congratulations on the success you're having with them. Dr. Andy, I wanted to ask you also about, you know, there were some studies that you mentioned in your recent editorial in the news press about the effectiveness of e-cigarettes as a smoking cessation tool, and it kind of looks like, as far as the research is concerned, the results are a little across the board at this point.
Correct. In fact, there's really only one randomized study that was published in Lancet last year that looked at e-cigarettes compared to traditional nicotine patches. And they found there was no statistically significant difference. Well, I mean, the good news was that they were found to be fairly equivalent. So e-cigarettes in that particular study seemed to be as effective as patches. Now, the reason I would still preferentially recommend patches would be that we have more than just one study showing patches are effective. However, I have to confess, I have a few patients like Kevin who have tried multiple different things, and I have suggested try using e-cigarettes as a last resort.
And I would add one thing to that, Dr. Andy. One of the things that there are no warning labels, et cetera, on these products as there would be on traditional nicotine replacement products. And that would be a concern for instance, pregnant women, young people, the elderly, people with heart conditions, et cetera. You know, so this would be something of a concern as well. And again, in addition to the fact that we still don't know necessarily the long range impact of using products for which we are not entirely sure what's in them.
Excellent point.
And what about just physiologically, just e-cigarettes as a nicotine delivery method compared to, say, smoking a cigarette or what I imagine would be a much slower absorption process through a patch or a gum?
I think it's fairly equivalent to smoking a cigarette. Most e-cigarettes, and as Kevin alluded to, they have different milligrams of nicotine dosages. But in a full-strength one, I believe it's fairly equivalent to a regular full-strength cigarette. I think the nicotine delivery systems, and that's, again, this is something that just simply needs to be studied more. I think what we know so far is that it should be fairly equivalent to, say, a patch as far as milligrams go. However, you don't get that oral fixation that you do with a cigarette in your mouth.
I think, too, John, one of the things about that is that there would be the possibility for a situation of abuse here in the sense that somebody could really basically overdose on nicotine, for instance, over a period of time with this. In other words, they control how much nicotine that they are actually inhaling, and it could be much larger than just a cigarette. For instance, somebody smoking cigarettes during the course of a day. So there is some potential for abuse, say along those lines.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The lack of secondhand smoke created by e-cigarettes was something I wanted to discuss also. And that's, of course, why you have all of these, take back your freedom. You can use them in much more places than you can a traditional cigarette. I recently saw someone in front of me in line at a grocery store vaping away, with a child in the grocery cart right there.
That's right.
And so people really seem to think they're safe. But is the vapor given off by e-cigarettes actually safer or safe enough, or do we know?
Dr. Rainey, I don't think that we know. I mean, for instance, some of these factors are unknown. Studies over time, are probably going to help us with that. But as Dr. Andy says, there are fewer, carcinogens than there would be in traditional cigarettes, et cetera. The products that are being imported, we have something like 200 companies importing products to the United States, and the labeling is a concern. For instance, the different amount of compounds that are in those products. There are toxins. Sometimes the labeling of the amount of nicotine that is in the particular bottles is different than what's on the labeling. So that's a concern. And even the vapors themselves, therefore, would also be something of a concern over a period of time because, again, there have been no peer-reviewed credible studies or research, science or medical studies regarding those facts.
And a caller had asked me to bring up this issue, and we were just talking about it before the show. Since CVS is going to stop selling cigarettes, what impact do either of you think that's going to have on the sale of e-cigarettes?
Well, they're going to stop selling e-cigarettes too.
Okay.
That's what I had just heard this morning on NPR at WGCU. And it was interesting. At the very end, I was thinking the same thing. Of course, we're thinking cigarettes this morning, and I was listening very intently for them to say something about it. It was the last line out of the reporter's mouth at the end of the story was that they were also going to stop selling e-cigarettes. So I don't think it's going to affect the sale of e-cigarettes in as a whole. But I think it's a good move by CVS.
I don't think it's going to affect it either. As tobacco companies have actually stated that over the long haul, they expect to make more profits from e-cigarettes than they ever have from traditional cigarettes. So that's quite a statement. Right. So they're expecting to be here for a long time and expecting quite a bit of profit over these next years.
Let's take a call now from Michael in Naples. Michael, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. My father was a chain smoker, and I picked up all that secondhand smoke from him, and I lost one lung, and I was so happy that they passed a lot at restaurants and all, places indoors, sports bars. people couldn't smoke, and now they're e-smoking, and it's just crazy. All that secondhand smoke, it's affecting me, and I have to walk out. And it's a shame that the public, will, you know, is, I mean, we're victims of other people's toxins, you know, and it's not right. I think they should add that e-cigarettes, you can't smoke e-cigarettes and indoors either. So I wanted to address that to you guys and see if we can do something to add to the law.
Interesting point, Michael. And, you know, we have heard from the U.S. Surgeon General, you know, it sounds like some regulations are going to be coming down the line here pretty soon. But from what I heard, those comments were more addressing, as you had mentioned, Dr. Andy, the sale of cigarettes to minors or e-cigarettes to minors. What about things like banning their use in public places or restaurants? Is there anything like that in the pipeline that you've heard?
I haven't heard of anything in the pipeline as of yet. But the first steps, of course, are coming. The FDA, I believe, just last week actually halted the import of these products from overseas, I think for some of the same concerns that Brendan just mentioned. And I think they're also initiating processes to start regulating and putting warning labels on them. And I think that'll all be the first steps in the road leading towards restricted use.
And I think that, you know, the FDA has been hindered in its efforts to regulate these products as a drug delivery device, but they are very confident they still are going to be able to regulate this as a tobacco product. And so you're certainly going to see changes when that does happen, and I believe that will eventually happen. There actually is, by the way, a statute. If you look at the Department of Business Professional Regulations, the Division of Alcoholic Beverages and Tobacco, mm-hmm. in 2013 they actually did enact a statute which bans the sale of nicotine derived from tobacco products to anyone under 18 to include e-cigarettes. Hmm. So there is actually a recent statute in Florida, like say, regarding that issue. And again, I'm very confident that the FDA and the FDA, because the FDA is confident that they are actually one day going to regulate these as tobacco products.
All right. And Kevin Lewis there at Island Coast High School in Cape Coral, I wanted to talk with you a bit about the SWAT Club there, Students Working Against Tobacco. Just tell us a little bit about the mission and the work of that club.
Well, Students Working Against Tobacco is a club that the purpose of it is to inform or people at our school about the negative effects of tobacco. And we do many things outside of the community, too, to try to get the school informed about the negative things about tobacco, like I said before. That's one of the biggest things we do in the school. We get involved with the school a lot to inform them.
And you're president of the club there. What made you want to join in the first place?
One of the things that made me join in the first place was that one of my friends recommended it to me, and that made me want to join it. Another thing that made me join it was that I saw that it was a very strong club in Island Coast High School, and that they were doing a really good job at informing kids about tobacco. So that was one of the things that really made me want to join the club.
And this is something I kind of wanted to ask all of you about, and that's what should you suggest parents say to their kids or teens about e-cigarette use? How should those conversations come about? Dr. Andy, I know you have kids of your own. The issue's going to come up someday.
Well, my kids are maybe a little extraordinary because they hear all sorts of strange conversations in our house.
Sure.
Two healthcare providers around. But as for parents, I would suggest parents talk to their kids about e-cigarettes and put them right in the same category with cigarettes. You know, yes, they are probably not as dangerous. They probably are safer, and they might have some useful purposes for cessation in the future as we study it more. However, for kids that don't smoke and households where parents don't smoke, I would definitely suggest to the parents lump tobacco products and nicotine products into one category and just say, just don't do it. They cost money. They cause an addiction. They're not attractive. You don't want to kiss an ashtray and leave it at that.
Anything you would want to add to that, Brendan?
Yeah, I would agree with Dr. Indy. I think you have to lump this e-cigarette topic in with the other cigarettes. They might say to young people, if they're really addressing the dangers of tobacco all throughout the young person's life, these young people will know some of the tactics of tobacco, for instance, candy flavoring, et cetera, et cetera. And they can say, if they made candy flavored tobacco to try to lure young people, mask that harshness of the tobacco and lure them into an addictive product, have you noticed that they're using the same tactics with this product? They are flavoring the products. Again, you know, why are they doing that? You know, they're trying to lure you, and the products can contain nicotine. It is dangerous. It could be a gateway to using traditional cigarettes, and you don't want to. Why would you want to endanger yourself by even trying?
Right. And lastly, to Kevin, you know, we all know kids don't want to listen to their parents, especially teens. Is there anything that you would suggest that might really hit home with teens?
Well, I would like to point out first that one of the things I've seen a lot of change in that before, like back then, a parent wouldn't give a child a cigarette. But right now, like on social networks, I've seen that teens commenting that their parents have been giving them e-cigarettes for Christmas or things like that, something that a parent would never usually do. So that's a tremendous change from a cigarette to an e-cigarette.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this portion of the show, but I want to thank my guests, Fort Myers primary care physician, Dr. Andy Oakes-Lautridge, also Brendan Donahue with the Health Education Program Consultant with the Florida Department of Health here in Lee County, and also president of the SWAT Club at Island Coast High School in Cape Coral, Kevin Lewis. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, Republican State Representative Matt Caldwell of Lehigh Acres kicks off our series of conversations with members of the Southwest Florida Legislative Delegation. Stay with us.